Let's read together Job chapter 3. In this chapter, we have Job's opening lament as we begin the dialogue between Job and his three friends. Let's begin by reading the first 10 verses. Job chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job spoke and said, "May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived. May that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for the night, may darkness seize it. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the number of the months. Oh, may that night be barren. May no joyful shout come into it. May those curse it who curse the day, those who are ready to arouse Leviathan. May the stars of its morning be dark. May it look for light, but have none, and not see the dawning of the day, because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide sorrow from my eyes." Let's begin our study of Job chapter 3 with some background notes. One simple outline of Job is as follows. Chapters 1 and 2, disasters of Job. Chapters 3 through 41, dialogues with Job. And chapter 42, deliverance for Job. We are now beginning the dialogue with Job, which will take us through chapter 41. These include the dialogues that Job had with his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, in chapters 3 through 31. These three would-be counselors will all try in their speeches to convince Job that he is suffering because he has sinned. They insist that Job is guilty because of some personal or secret sin in his life. Throughout these dialogues, Job maintains that he is innocent and that he is not hiding any secret sin. If God would only speak, they would see that Job was innocent. Then in chapters 32 through 37, we have a fourth counselor named Elihu who enters the picture. His position is not that Job is being punished for his sin, but that God is using Job's suffering to educate Job and teach Job lessons that he needs to learn. In other words, Job's suffering is not punitive, but educational. And then in chapters 38 through 41, we have God speaking to Job. The Lord speaks twice to Job in these chapters and gives Job the opportunity to respond after each speech. The Lord's speeches are not designed to humiliate Job, but to humble Job and to bring Job to a position where he doesn't question God's ways, even though he may not fully understand God's ways. You know, we all need to learn this lesson. God knows what he is doing in each of our lives, even though we may not fully understand how. And finally, in chapter 42, we have Job's full repentance before the Lord and the deliverance or restoration of Job. Now you will notice that all of these chapters are written in Hebrew poetry. We don't return to prose until the deliverance of Job in the last portion of chapter 42. Here in chapter 3, we have the opening lament of Job, and then in chapter 4, the friends will begin to speak. And we will see three rounds of discourses where each friend speaks in turn and Job responds. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this chapter. So doctrinal point number one, it is important to realize the reasons for Job's wish. It is important to realize the reasons for Job's wish. Now, it doesn't take much insight to see that Job's wish was that he wished he wasn't alive. Let's continue reading more of this chapter. We read verses 1 through 10. Now, let's read verses 11 through 19. Job chapter 3, beginning now with verse 11. "Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Why did the knees receive me? Or why the breasts that I should nurse? For now I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth who built ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who never saw light? There the wicked ceased from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They do not hear the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. We see that in this chapter, Job's wish that he wasn't alive could be subdivided into three separate wishes. His wish that he hadn't been born, verses 1 through 10. His wish that he had died at birth, verses 11 through 19. And his wish that he could die right then, verses 20 through 26. Now let's look at these wishes in a little more detail. We see in verses 3 through 7 that Job wished the day of his birth had never dawned, but had remained in darkness. He wished that the day of his birth could be removed from history. In verse 8, Job is referring to those who believed in a myth of that day that with the pronouncement of a curse, the Leviathan sea monster could be roused to swallow the sun and moon and thus remove the day. Now, this does not mean that Job believed in mythology or that such a curse was possible. No. Job is just stating in a very expressive way that he wished the day of his birth had never dawned. The Leviathan, by the way, was a plesiosaur-like sea creature that is probably now extinct. Now we'll talk more about the Leviathan in chapter 41. In verses 9 and 10, Job states that if the day of his birth had not dawned, his mother's womb would still be shut, and he would not be born. But Job was born. And so we see in verses 11 through 19 that Job wished that he had died at birth. Verse 11, once again, why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? The knees of verse 12 refer to the lap of his mother or the knees of his father, acknowledging that a boy had been born into the family. How much better it would have been, says Job in verse 13. To have died and been laid to quiet rest along with kings and princes who had died and were now at rest. Verses 14 and 15. Let's read these verses once again. Job chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. For now I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth who built ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver, verses 13 through 15. If Job had been a miscarriage and never seen the light of day, verse 16, then he would not be suffering now, but he would be at rest where there was no evil or weariness or slavery, verses 17 through 19. But Job did not die at birth, and so in verses 20 through 26, we see that Job wished that he could die right then, rather than suffer. Let's read these verses. Job chapter 3, beginning now with verse 20. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul, who long for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly, and are glad when they can find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, and whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes before I eat, and my groanings pour out like water. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. Why, Job asks in verses 20 through 22, is life given to those who are suffering and want to die? And why, Job asks in verses 23 and 24, is life given to those whom God has hedged in? That is, hedged in not in the sense of protection, as in chapter 1, but in the sense of limitation because of suffering. We see in verses 25 and 26 that all of Job's fears had come upon him. How much better to die and find ease and quiet and rest. So we can understand Job's death wish. Many believers have gone through great suffering and can identify with Job here. In fact, that's certainly one reason why God included Job as a book of Scripture. It is important to realize the reasons for Job's wish. Doctrinal point number two. It is important to remember what Job does not wish. It is important to remember what Job does not wish. Although Job wished that he had never been born, or that he had died young, or that he could die rather than suffer, there is not the slightest suggestion from Job that he might commit suicide, or the slightest hint to his friends to put him out of his misery. Listen, if God ever wanted to say in the Bible that suicide or euthanasia was justified in cases of extreme suffering, the book of Job would be the perfect opportunity. But such is not the case. In fact, it's just the opposite. And Job does not renounce his belief in God, and Job does not blaspheme God. Even though Job does not understand why he is suffering and wishes that he could die, he knows that somehow God is allowing this suffering, and it would be wrong for him to end his life by suicide or have others end it for him with some kind of mercy killing. Believers who favor euthanasia in cases of extreme suffering need to study the book of Job. Pain relief, yes. Euthanasia, no. Furthermore, notice that when Job wished that he had not been born, he did not wish that he had been aborted. And when he wished that he had died at birth, he did not wish that someone had practiced infanticide, even though these evils were common in the ancient world. It is important to remember what Job does not wish. And now, what about practical application for Job chapter 3? Why you ask why is very significant. Why you ask why is very significant. We read in this chapter that Job asked why a number of times. Verse 11, why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Verse 12, why did the knees receive me? Or why the breasts that I should nurse? Verse 16, or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who never saw light? Verse 20, why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul? And verse 23, why is light given to a man whose way is hidden and whom God has hedged in? Now at this point, Job is asking why because he doesn't understand why God is allowing him to suffer. He is not asking God why in a rebellious or demanding manner. No. Now we will see later that Job does question God's fairness, and for that, Job is rebuked. But at this point, Job is not asking why with some kind of wrong attitude. No. It is a lack of understanding as to why he was allowed to live only to suffer. Job wanted insight as to why. It's not wrong for us to ask God why when we need insight and understanding about a matter, as long as we ask with the right attitude. To demand answers from God with a rebellious and critical attitude is the wrong way to ask why. But to ask God for insight and understanding with the right attitude is not wrong. Why you ask why is very significant.